Well, he does provide. Amen. A lot of us wouldn't be standing here today if the Lord didn't provide. And I'm thankful he heals and he blesses. Amen. One simple verse I want to turn your attention to here for the rest of this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. We'll begin with the first verse and establish our theme, and then there are several more verses in that chapter that I want to draw your attention to. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, let's read this short verse together. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times. That's what I want to emphasize to you today. Now, that sounds like it's going to be negative. Sounds like it's going to be just discouraging and not uplifting at all. That's not the way it's going to be. I just need to make sure you are aware, and not just in the physical sense, but in the spiritual, especially in the spiritual. We're going to avoid the perils that are there and be overcomers. Praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. Now, if you are prone to using a concordance and your device has that feature, and it's interesting sometimes to just take a look and see how many times that particular word that you're interested in appears in the Bible. Or if you have the Strong's app and you want to know what it means in the Greek or what it means in the Hebrew, you would find perilous only once. It's only in this verse. And Paul links it to the last days, which I believe is where we are. The last days. Amen. And thank God we can be aware, as the Greek defines it, of difficult and dangerous and even furious situations that come in the last days, perilous times. Other translations render that word as grievous or terrible or times of stress. And obviously, we know that's where we're living today. That's what's happening. And as Paul would elaborate on how the times would be perilous, he would begin to describe society and what it will involve. If you could put the next verse up from the Amplified, then we would know that there would be a vast application of what's there. Lovers of self, the self-indulgent world that we live in today is amazing. The narcissistic aspects of it all, the self-focus that's there, just seen in so many ways that you have to indulge the self. You have to go with what is pleasing to you. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be ascetic. You know, the ascetic people with a focus of denying themselves. There was a guy that sat on a pole. I mean, on a pole sticking up from the ground. He sat on it for years. That was his existence. That was his place. And he thought he was disciplining himself in an ascetic way. The Lord's not expecting you to do that. He said, occupy till I come. Not occupy a 2-foot existence on a pole. No, occupy your home, occupy your marriage, occupy your family, occupy your church, occupy your workplace, occupy your community, because your influence as salt and light is required. Amen. Praise God. So, lovers of self, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Whoa, have we hit on Hollywood yet? Those are aspects that we recognize are very much a part of what's in our society. Unloving. Now we see two aspects of love going the wrong direction. Lovers of self, lovers of money. Now here is a void of love, unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused and inhumane. The next generation, the concern that, or lack of concern for those that don't have a voice, that's the unloving, irreconcilable. Malicious gossips, devoid of self-control. They're intemperate, they're immoral, they're brutal, they're haters of good. Traitors and reckless and conceited. And here's the misapplied love again. Lovers of pleasure, lovers of sensual things rather than lovers of God. Misplaced love. Love that goes in every direction instead of where it's supposed to be. God, help us to be able to move into the realm of knowing love for the Lord is going to conquer all of the other aspects that would be pulling at my soul and pulling at my heart. We recognize we are living in those times. The apostle, no doubt, penned that in the first century, and he would recognize as he looked around in his society and saw it's happening right now. And if ever it's happening, it is now. In times of peril, with terror, with bombs, with guns, with chemicals, I was shocked to read the story of children playing on the playground. 11, 10, 11, 12-year-olds just having a time on the playground. And of course, there's an altercation. There's a disagreement. There's a little bit of a fuss. A mother gave a 12-year-old daughter some acid and took it to the other children and threw it on the back of one of the children that she had a disagreement with. Second and third degree burns on that poor child. She said as soon as the liquid hit her back, it started to burn. Others said there was smoke coming up off of her skin. It perilous times. What? I just have to shake my head. What kind of reasoning? Or what lack of reasoning? What lack of common sense? Just incredible. But these are the times that we're living in. Crime increasing, burglaries, home invasions, robberies. It just is continuing on, and society's sins becoming more and more rampant. You have to drive careful. You're driving. Has got to be even more careful, even more cautious because of the danger of drivers driving under the influence. Alcohol, drugs, meds, legal marijuana, my goodness. God help us. I hope you pray before you take any long trip. Lord, keep us safe. Lord, protect us. Lord, keep your angels around us. Lord, cover us with your blood. Amen. Because of the dangers that are there. The social media and the internet. I'm still amazed that when we returned from our trip to Alabama and the conference that was there, that the state trooper knocked on our door the next morning saying that there was a 911 call from our house that morning. We weren't even awake. He woke us up. Because our son Mike picked us up and brought us back from the airport in Anchorage. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, we pulled into our driveway, unloaded our bags, and went right to bed. I don't know who would have called 911. And they said the dispatcher returned the call two or three times. Our phone never rang. Is it possible that the internet can be manipulated like that? And somebody can get into the system and play some games. Somebody can get it. You know, the insecurity of the internet is an alarming situation. Anything can be, well, I don't know. I don't know what can be done on my computer. But I hope that somebody is not going to be able to get into my system and put things there that shouldn't be there. And all of a sudden I get blamed for something I did not do. That AI? My goodness. But the media, with its explicit situations that are promoted fearlessly almost, and just amazing, the misuse and abuse that is there. But thank God we can use proper use. We're online right now, praise God, and we're able to give a good message. But if we can't control proper use of the media, stop using it. That's just the way it needs to be. Because of the peril. Because the perilous times that are a click away from where you could move into the wrong realm. And then certainly, as we recognize, there's greater peril in the spiritual realm than in the physical. You see, the Lord said, iniquity shall abound. He taught the disciples about the end times in Matthew 24. They asked, they were curious, they wanted to know, when shall these things be? What is going to take place? What is going to happen? Jesus answered about the signs of the times, and we recognize the 8 billion people that are upon the face of the earth are experiencing these things right now. Famine and hunger, pestilence and disease, earthquakes, deceptions by false Christs and false prophets. Those were the signs the Lord said are going to come to pass. And it's happening even more now in an abundance that we have not seen before. It's happening. And we recognize it is the sign of the end times. And the key point that the Lord wanted us to be aware of is iniquity shall abound. It is going to get worse. And the Bible tells us that evil men will become worse and worse. It's just going to be a sign of the times. So the devil, being aware of the abundance of the Lord, and thank God we rejoice in that abundance. We experience that abundance. We pray for that abundance. We know the hand of God is there with a distribution of abundance. The devil is aware of that kind of abundance, and he tries to counter it. He tries to bring a counterfeit. He tries to make it seem as though there's something else that can't be provided. So iniquity abounding, both to deceive and to lure away from the truth, and to incite fear, to intimidate those who are walking in truth, to make it seem it's not worth it, it's too high a price, it's too difficult, there's situations that you're not going to be able to overcome, so you might as well give up. No, not going to follow that line. Praise God. Iniquity shall abound. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 12, the love of many shall become cold. Now, why did he focus on love? Why didn't he say the prayers are going to become cold? The power is going to become less. The joy is going to be diminished. Why did he focus on love? Because love never fails. If the devil can cancel out your love for the Word of God, if he can cancel out your love for the people of God and the fellowship that we have in the church, if he can cancel out any of the aspects that love for the Lord would bring into your experience, he's won. But thank God, we can renew our love. We can renew our first love, praise God, and move into the realm that the Lord would have for us. Those four aspects that we read from 2 Timothy 3, the love of pleasure, the love of money, being unloving and loving things more than being a lover of God, the misplaced love, we're not going to fall into those categories. I'm not going to leave my first love. The Lord said, I know your patience, I know your work, I know your labor, I know your all of these aspects, he said to the church at Ephesus, but I have something against you. Oh, that God would speak to our hearts when there needs to be a correction, when there needs to be a redirection, when there needs to be a place that we move to avoid the judgment. I have something against you. You've left your first love. Revelation 2 and 4 is what we want to understand. I cannot allow that to become my experience. Even in the perilous times that we live in, my love for the Lord can grow. My love for the Lord can increase. My love for the Lord can explode. Praise God. And know that His truth and His blessing and His power is going to be there as well. You see, iniquity, the devil will try to make iniquity, iniquity of society. He'll want to make it personal. He'll want to put it in your heart. He'll want it to overwhelm your mind. But I'm thankful the prayers of the psalmist against sin can become our prayers. I love how the psalmist prayed, cleanse me from secret faults. He prayed, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. These prayers are in Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a beautiful psalm about the things of the Word of God, the aspects of the Word of God, the characteristics of the Word of God, and what the Word of God is able to do and what it's able to accomplish in our lives. And then he makes it personal. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep me back from presumptuous sins. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can step into that realm of saying, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you in my heart. Not just on Sunday, not just on Thursday, but every day of the week, every hour of the day. God, I need your power. I need your strength. I need your blessing. I need your touch in my life. Thank God that the power of the Lord can come forth. And regardless of any iniquity, whether it's personal, whether it's public, I'm thankful that we can choose to be transformed by the power of God and not conform to this world. Thank the Lord for the power that He brings into our lives and the strength that we're able to experience in Him. Amen. You read Romans, the sixth chapter, and you underline the times that free occurs. Free. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the country that we live in. I'm thankful for our veterans, those who have served. I'm thankful that we know the aspects that are guaranteed us under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and so on. I'm thankful we can be in the house of the Lord. And I pray that God would give us something to be able to, if there's any kind of order that comes again, that the churches are closed and the liquor stores are open, I pray that God would help us to rise up and say, no, we're not going to be closed. We're more important than liquor stores. We're more important than cannabis. We're more important than any of those aspects. Praise God. And the power of the Lord can come forth. Let there be something that would rise up in our backbones to be able to say, I'm going to stand for the Lord and do a work for Him. That's not civil disobedience. That's not something we're doing against our government. That's something we're doing for the Lord and those who are lost and need to know the power and the blessing of the Lord. Praise God. And thank God for the freedom that we have as we walk on with Him. Romans 6 and 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. It's important to be buried in the name of the one who died for you. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Oh, thank God for the power that we're able to step into in the new birth, born of the water and of the Spirit, and the blessings of God that can come forth. Verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. For sin shall not have dominion over you because of His grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Thank God we can step into the realms of being made free from sin. Underline it, free. Thank God we're free from the things of sin. Even iniquity that is public, iniquity that is abounding, iniquity that is all around us. Thank God we can determine within our hearts, I am going to live according to the Word of God. I am going to go forth in this world following what the Lord says in His Word. Praise God. Because heaven and earth are going to pass away. But my word, the Lord said, not going to pass away. In that same chapter, Matthew 24, about the things of iniquity abounding and the signs of the times that we're in, I'm thankful that we can have a love for the truth. The Bible tells us we need that. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, a love for the truth so that we can be saved. Thank God that there can be a love that we have for the Lord, a love for His Word, a love for His people, a love for His presence, praise God, and a love for His truth. Because the world is going to challenge your spirituality, going to impede your walk with God. And the spiritual peril is worse than the physical peril. Physical peril being bad enough. But we're seeing it make inroads. We're seeing it make changes. Changes that have not been there for centuries. But now, churches welcoming LGBTQ into their pastoral ranks. And I'll just go ahead and call them. You won't be offended, will you? Methodists allowing those kinds into their pulpits. The Southern Baptists recognizing that their stand on women being pastors and so on is not going to happen. So there's a whole bunch of people. By the way, Southern Baptist missionaries are encouraged to receive the Holy Ghost in speaking tongues because they see the success of others on the mission field, particularly in Africa. Pentecostal groups are growing leaps and bounds. Our missionaries report people being filled with the Holy Ghost just and above what they've experienced before, because people are hungry for the things of God, and the Lord is fulfilling His word that He will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Thank God that there is none that need to be held back. And the Southern Baptists are recognizing that's how you grow a church. That's how you reach people. That's how you can have a successful mission. So they're allowing their missionaries to receive the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. The Catholics are questioning now the prayer that they've had so many times that they call Our Father. Is it really a father? And that whole aspect of gender becoming such a compromise and a situation. See, Paul warned in this passage that we read, Paul warned about a form of godliness. A form. The godliness that should change people's lives. The godliness that should make a difference in a marriage, in a family, in a life. The godliness that's there, they're just satisfied with the form. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Godliness has power to change people's lives. Godliness has power to make things better. Godliness has power to make a difference, but they're denying it. Just a form. That's all I need. I just want to seem like I'm okay. But I still want to continue doing the things that I know I shouldn't do from the Word of God. That's how people are living today. And oh, let God do a work within us. Praise God. That we say, oh Lord, I want to be godly. I want to be close to You. I want to leave this world behind and move into Your presence, into Your promises, into Your blessing more and more. Praise God. To know that there's power to change us. Thank God. Lot. Go all the way back to Lot, because the Lord said what was going on in Lot's day, Noah's day, is what's going to happen in the end times. Okay, so Lot. He was living in perilous times in Sodom and Gomorrah. Perilous times. We know that that's what happened because the angels that came to warn him about the judgment that was coming were you know, the onslaught of evil. At his door was terrible. And he didn't recognize that transition. He first looked in the direction of Sodom, and then he moved into the city, and then he became one who sat in the gates. In other words, he was an authority. He was someone in charge. He sat in the gate. He controlled commerce going in and out of the city. And so he acclimated himself to that society. He didn't allow the things that were there to cause him to sit up and take notice and say, I better get my kids out of here. I don't want them growing up in this kind of exposure, this kind of society. I better make some changes. Uncle Abraham, where are you? I've got to find you. I've got to get back to righteousness. Didn't do that. He didn't. He saw the opportunities to fit in, to belong, and to gain more belongings. He didn't recognize the peril of compromise and indifference. Abraham was told of coming judgment. Abraham did not take it with a shrug. Abraham did not feel it was hopeless. Abraham began to pray, "Oh God, would you destroy the city if there's 50 righteous? No, I won't destroy it if there's 50. Would you destroy it if there's 45? No, I will not destroy it if there's 45. Will you destroy it if there's 40? And you know the story, 40, 30, 20, 10. But there wasn't even 10. What happened, Lot? Where's your influence? Where's your choice to live godly? Where's your desire to do the things of the Lord? When Lot was visited by the angels, they had to pull him in the door, and they smote those outside the door with blindness. And then the next day, when he went to tell his sons-in-law about judgment coming, and he wanted his daughters to be safe, he wanted his grandchildren, if there were any, to be safe, they laughed at him, thinking he was joking. Oh God, help us not to live a life that's a joke. Not to live a life of commitment that just feels like it's, oh well, take or leave it. It doesn't matter. The angels had to pull him and his wife and two daughters out of the city when he lingered. You got to understand, of course, he's a father. He's probably a grandfather. And those things were pulling at his heart. Those things were just holding him. And that's why the angels had to pull him out of that city, because of Abraham's prayers. Your prayers make a difference. Your prayers are powerful. Amen. And Abraham's prayers were powerful as well. But Lot lost all that he gained. Even lost his wife. And Jesus reminds us in Luke 17 and 32, remember Lot's wife. And then he asks the question, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, we are in the last days. The last days. The perils that are there. Paul listed 8 perils that he faced, that he dealt with, that he overcame in 2 Corinthians 11. He lists them all: his fellow countrymen, the heathen, the city, the wilderness, the sea, among false brethren. He goes on and mentions all the things that he was up against, but God brought him through. God did not forsake him. God did not forget him, and he's not going to forget you. He's not going to forsake you. You keep holding on. You keep believing God. You keep walking in holiness. You keep choosing godliness. You keep holding on to the truth. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we can know the blessings of the Lord that are going to be there. I know there are those, and Paul told us about it in this same passage, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That describes so many who want to explore, who want to look, who want to see about different philosophies, different ideas, different thoughts of creation, and all of these various aspects that are there, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, God, help us to be able to make the choice again and again. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to walk with him. Praise God. I'm thankful that the name of the one who was wonderful continues to do wonderful works. And they are seen in our lives. Amen. And we can see them among others as well. Works of salvation, works of healing, works of deliverance, works of change. Praise God. It's wonderful to hear the wonderful works of God. And that's what what they heard on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out. It wasn't gibberish. It wasn't just some made up words or thoughts and so on. No, they were talking about the wonderful works of God. And there were those among 15 nations who were present who were saying, we hear them speaking about the wonderful works of God. I'm thankful that He is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. He is the light in the darkness. Praise God. And He continues to do that work. Much more than any song would be able to say, much more than any saint would be able to testify about. Thank God He goes above and beyond anything that we might experience. And I'm thankful that we can know the blessings of the Lord. And the promise is He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Thank God it's happening. The power of God is there. The strength of God comes forth. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out, not just for a thrill, not just for a thinking of, wow, I've never had that happen before, but to give us power. Power from on high. You shall receive power. The Lord emphasized that aspect of power. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord gives us power over the peril. He doesn't give us paranoia. He doesn't give us a paralysis and we wonder what's going to happen, what's going to take place. No, there's power that He provides. Thank God. We can rise above every situation that we face. We can know the hand of God to come forth in a wonderful way. Paul said, my preaching was not with words of man's wisdom, but it was demonstration of the Spirit and power. Thank God that we know that power is there and the blessings of the Lord are there. Greater works than these shall ye do. Thank God, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I hope we don't just read those passages of Scripture and think, wow, that would be nice. Never seen it, but that would be nice. No, there's got to be a hunger within our hearts that says, oh God, I need you to be greater in me than all the forces that are around me, all the things that are after me, all the things that are trying to get me to compromise, to capitulate, to move away from truth and to be conformed to this world. God, I need your power. Praise God. And I'm thankful that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up. There will be a rising up. There will be a power that comes forth. There will be a blessing that is given. There will be a strength that's imparted. Hallelujah. And you will be able to stand. You will be able to be victorious. You will move into the realm of understanding. My God has never failed me. My God has never forsaken me. My God has never given up on me. Hallelujah. I'm going to move into the realm of victory and power, regardless of the peril that's there. Not going to defeat us. Praise God, because we're not sufficient in ourselves. It's not me. It's His power. His power. His glory. His blessing. We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, Paul said. But our sufficiency is of God. Is He sufficient? Is He enough to meet the needs? Is He enough to give you overcoming power? Oh, yes. And I love what 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says. God is able. That's the ability that we tap into. That's what we look to for the ability that we need to have. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. We need to see that on the screen. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. Praise God. Because of the all that is there. The abundance that is there. And you can experience it. You can have it. Praise God. And the peril is not going to sink you. The peril not going to pull you down. The peril not going to be able to defeat you. Praise God. But God is able. All grace, all sufficiency, all things abounding to every good work. Thank the Lord. Stand with me again, please. So am I going to have a nervous breakdown? No. So am I going to chew my nails down to the quick or whatever nervous habit might try to come on me? Am I going to hide in my house and oh, everybody's against me, everybody's picking on me? No. The one who had victory over death and over the grave is the one living within our hearts and lives. The one who is able to bring forth his power and lift us up above the storm. Praise God. And move us again and again into the realm of victory. Hallelujah. I know there's tears. I cry. I hurt. I feel loss. I recognize things aren't going the way I would like for them to go. I see faltering. I see indifference. I see those things. I'm your pastor. And the tears flow. And I don't know what you're doing at 3:00 in the morning, but the Lord wakes me up to pray. He's sufficient.
Yes.
He's sufficient. Hear me now. He's your sufficiency. Get close to him. Stay close to him. Spend time with him. Yes. You want to spend eternity with him? Spend time with him. Amen. And move into that realm of seeking his face. When your spirit said, Lord, seek my face, my heart said. Read it in Psalm 27. My heart said, your face, Lord, will I seek.
Yes.
Not Facebook, his face. Oh, God, help us. Help us. Because the perils are real. And the spiritual perils are far more dangerous than physical perils. God help us, amen, to recognize this is not a game. This is not just hoping things turn out right. Of course we hope for that. We do. But thank God the Lord can bring assurance. The Lord can bring victory and power and blessing beyond anything we've experienced to this point. Praise God. But we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. Amen. I'd love for you to come and pray here for a few minutes.